This is Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Ashley Thornburg. With the Delta COVID infections currently surging in North Dakota, hospitalizations and deaths are expected to peak in the coming weeks. Meanwhile, masking in schools has been a much debated topic. Today, in an excerpt from the Conversations on Healthcare podcast, we hear from a state that is already experiencing that peak. Hosts Mark Maselli and Margaret Flinter speak with Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear.
Governor Beshear, welcome to Conversations on Healthcare today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, Governor, you know, the resurgence of COVID-19 is really causing havoc all across the country. But in your state, the state Supreme Court just upheld a challenge by the Kentucky legislature, which sought to limit your executive powers in response to the pandemic. And it is hard to believe that the judge used the word tyranny to describe your mask mandate for K through 12 school children. How's the court's decision impacting your overriding objective to keep the population of Kentucky safe?
Well, it seems these days that name calling is not confined to just some, and tyranny now means I disagree with you. Listen, from the very start of this, I was committed to doing the right thing, to following the science, because at the end of the day, I care about the lives of my people a lot more than I care about my own personal popularity. And so along the way, I've had to make difficult decisions. You know, it's everything from when we had to be healthy at home to when we previously had a mask mandate in Kentucky, to my decision to require it in universal masking in public and private schools here as we went back in the Commonwealth. I did those knowing that there would be backlash, but having the courage to just do the right thing and knowing what it is. And in these instances, it's not just right versus wrong and life versus death. It's what works and what doesn't. If you have universal masking when a class goes back, you can stay in person. If you do not wear masks, you end up with everybody in quarantine. So I was willing to do the right thing and to push forward, even with the criticism out there. Now, the Supreme Court recently came out and said, I'm not going to be able to carry the ball anymore. That these tough decisions, instead of being made by one individual that has a little more latitude to do the unpopular thing, if it's the right thing, they're going to be made by, you know, a legislature consisting of over 100 people. It may be harder. And that legislature has suggested before that they don't agree with mask mandates, but I'm certainly going to push and do my best to provide the education to show them that that is the only way right now. Because as we're talking, I just got news that we have the third highest number of cases in Kentucky than we have had at any time in the pandemic. And that's with over 60% of adults in Kentucky having at least one shot of a vaccine. And today we announced 65 deaths. We were down to three a day. I was looking forward to zeros numerous days in a row, which I hadn't yet had the opportunity to see. So our state and the South, what will be the entire United States, is on fire with the Delta variant. Now more than ever, we've got to make the right decisions guided by public health to save lives. And I'll also say, and we can talk about it, our hospitals are bursting at the seams. Yeah. We have one that has a disaster plan in effect, the disaster plan. People are being treated in their cars outside of them. So we're calling in the National Guard to help. We're trying to take over testing for some of them to free up staff. And we've asked FEMA for help. So this is a time when we need strong leadership, and I hope the legislature will step up and make the right decisions.
Well, Governor Beshear, tell us more about the impact of this Delta surge. How is it affecting the whole healthcare system in your state?
It's dire. And when they say this thing is aggressive, that's not a good enough word for it. It's like an inferno. How quickly it escalates, cases going from in April or in early June in the hundreds to, I think we have 4,800 new cases today. More kids than ever before. Used to be about 11% of our cases were kids. It's now 20%+. Remember, little kids don't get tested that often. It's making people sicker from the very beginning. And we're losing younger people in their 30s and 40s without pre-existing conditions. We're seeing more breakthrough cases, primarily with those that'll be helped by the booster that the immunocompromised can already get, but its impact on hospitals, especially hospitals in areas with lower vaccination rates, can't be understated. Most of these hospitals, you know, aren't used to helping higher acuity, sicker patients. Most of them don't have that many ICU beds, and almost none of these hospitals have pediatric ICU beds. And so we see the ICUs filled up. We see operating rooms being turned into additional COVID wings, and we see our healthcare heroes so tired. St. Clair and Moorhead is in their disaster mode where they can't take any more emergencies, and the ambulances are pretty much running people to other hospitals. Pikeville Medical Center has a triage tent outside of the ER to push some to other places who might not need emergency care. Ephraim McDowell, which is a hospital where people don't die because they're transferred to higher level trauma hospitals, had 7 pass away over the weekend. Their morgue only fits 2. So we saw refrigerator trucks. Mm-hmm. And I declared this week Healthcare Heroes Appreciation Week because they are so tired and they've gone through so much trauma. And we've got to keep our healthcare staffing up at a time when so many are saying, I've already fought for too long. So this Delta variant, which you're right, was entirely preventable if people would have gotten vaccinated to protect their families. It's having a major toll on Kentucky, and it's going to have a major toll on the entire country. Because what we're learning is you can have a lot of your population vaccinated, but with this Delta variant, you got to get close to all of them vaccinated. Yeah.
Governor, the kids are going back to school now without vaccinations, without masks, so virtually no protection against the virus, leading to massive quarantines. And I believe you liken this scenario to throwing a giant chicken pox party, only with the third deadliest illness in the country. I'm wondering if you could talk a little more about the dangers you see for the state's children, the teachers, but also some of the strategies that you're doing, having to work around the General Assembly.
Well, this one's real personal to me. I'm the dad of 2 middle school children. One is 12. Will is fully vaccinated. I broke down in tears when he could get his first and his second shot. But my daughter, his sister, is a year younger, is 11, and she can't get vaccinated yet. Thankfully, they go to a school that chose universal masking. And then I stepped up and required it because we had one school district, Warren County Public Schools, that went back mask optional. They were one of the first. And in 3 days, had over 700 kids in quarantine. That rose to 1,500 kids in quarantine. When I put in universal masking and they've been there since, that has been cut in half and is going down. So listen, one works. Universal masking, that newest study that came out, cutting transmission by 80% with unvaccinated kids in poorly ventilated classrooms is like a giant chickenpox party with the third leading cause of death in America. I mean, come on. We can't be allowing that to happen to our kids. And keeping our kids safe isn't some issue of personal liberty. Come on. Our kids aren't our property. They are not an opportunity for us to have our political arguments. They are a solemn obligation. And right now we require what? We mandate 12-plus vaccines by the time you're in sixth grade, 30-plus shots that are out there. And all we're asking them to do is wear a piece of cloth over their face that helps prevent the spray and the spread. It was every education group that supported the mandate I put into schools. The leader of the Kentucky Superintendent Association, it was our Kentucky Chamber of Commerce, which hadn't always been with me in the steps I've had to take, because they are certain. And it's a fact that if a ton of kids are quarantined, which they will be, mask optional, a ton of parents can't go to work. That's lesser productivity and has a direct hit on the economy. So right now, we still have, at least in public schools, the mandate in place because our Board of Education courageously and unanimously passed an emergency regulation as well. But private schools and maybe in the future public schools won't have that mandate in effect. So what I'm doing is I'm trying to talk to every superintendent, anybody that'll listen to me. Again, you might have a couple parents that are upset with you now, but when their kids are quarantined or testing positive, they're going to be a whole lot more angry. And with more kids suffering long-term consequences, I hope people don't say, well, you only have 21 kids in the pediatric ICU. First, that's more than we've ever had. And second, we got kids in adult ICU that we don't have in that count because we only have 2 pediatric ICU units in the entire state. this ought to be a no-brainer. And if I sound a little frustrated about it, I am, because my kids are the most important thing in my life, and they ought to be for everybody else.
What other strategies are you and your team deploying to try and increase that vaccination rate? The numbers have been going up around the country, but what else are you doing to try and get people to change their minds and get vaccinated?
Well, full FDA approval should move a lot of people, because you hear a lot of people say it. I think in general, we have two groups of people left that are unvaccinated. You have those that have been provided misinformation, but believe it on a couple of topics that if we could get the right information from someone they trust, that they'll get vaccinated. And then you have some that are just politically opposed to it and short of being ventilated themselves, at which time they will beg for the vaccine, don't appear that they will get it. So for the groups that misinformation does appear to have created skepticism, but maybe not locked them off, I think this concept that it was rushed ought to now be settled. Full FDA approval is a gold standard. It's what the smallpox vaccine and the chickenpox vaccine and polio vaccine, all of which we've taken, and we're still here. But the other thing I'd say is half the country has taken this vaccine. At least one out of every two people that you'll come across has taken this vaccine. So if there's a problem with it, we'd know it by now. I think the other two myths we got to directly debunk that can make you sterile, entirely not true. But we've even had Kentucky leaders that have been telling people that falsely, as well as a concept that if you're pregnant, or you want to become pregnant, you shouldn't take it. The CDC's directly addressed that, saying it's much more dangerous to be unvaccinated and pregnant than vaccinated. And really across the country, I think it's rightful fear of the Delta variant that's truly driving it.
Yeah.
Here in Kentucky, we have a lottery. We've made two millionaires. I get to make another one on Friday. We're giving away full ride scholarships to kids. I can't imagine a better thing for us to do to encourage people to get vaccinated, but just a great thing to do in general. I get to give my next five out, so I feel like Willy Wonka. This is the third set of five kids that get their golden ticket.
Wow.
We've got our MCOs, our managed care organizations with Medicaid, offering money, though we're still not seeing a lot of people come around to that. So we're learning a lot about incentives right now.
Yeah.
I think what we're really going to see, now we have full FDA approval, is private sector mandates, because this is their workforce. And their workforce could be wiped out very quickly. Look at Tyson, you know, Tyson Chicken. You got their huge operations. And COVID can spread and ravage a facility there, I remember, because we had to shut one down for a couple of days. That's a workforce that if you want to protect it and remain productive, that vaccine is really necessary. I see that as the next big step that's gonna boost numbers.
Governor, thank you so much for taking the time for joining us on Conversations on Healthcare.
Well, thank you. And we always end our updates with a simple phrase. We will get through this, and we will get through this together. Now everybody go get vaccinated.
That was Conversations on Healthcare podcast hosts Mark Maselli and Margaret Flinter with Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear. Conversations on Healthcare comes to us from the Community Health Center of Connecticut. Dakota Datebook is next.
Support for Prairie Public is provided by Bill Dean, Realtor Broker with Alliance Real Estate of Bismarck. Buying, selling, investing, and estate planning. Information can be found at BillDeanHomes.com.
This is Dakota Datebook for August 31st. On this date, in 1916, J. E. Shannon was being held in the Cass County Jail. He had been arrested in March after a robbery and gunfight in a drugstore in Davenport, south of Fargo. 5 months later, on August 24th, Sheriff John Ross discovered something unusual. The Fargo Forum reported, "Every Sunday there is a thorough search made of the jail, during which every article is gone over thoroughly. In the last search, a most artistic set of two keys were found that would work to perfection." The keys were found in a jacket owned by a prisoner other than Shannon, and while there was no evidence linking the keys to Shannon, he was the only suspect. He had tried to escape just a few weeks earlier, and Sheriff Ross believed he was the only one with enough talent to make such keys. Quoting from the newspaper, "The keys show the work of a master hand, having been made from tablespoons with the aid of a safety razor blade and a couple of pieces of spring steel. The discovery of the keys led to a further and closer search, which revealed the tools they were made with, all being hidden in the same locality. and in such a way that officers are led to believe that the manufacturer anticipated being caught with the goods and tried to place them where they would not likely be charged to him. In making the keys, the story continued, tablespoons were flattened out and part of the bowl used for the key part, while the handle served as the shaft. In providing heat with which to soften the metal, grease taken from meats served prisoners had been collected in a small can and used as a torch. In the days following the discovery, Fargo's chief of police discovered Shannon had a 10-year criminal background that spanned the country. It began in 1906, when he was arrested in Kansas City for vagrancy. Adopting a number of aliases, he would go on to be arrested in Denver, San Francisco, St. Louis, St. Paul, Chicago, Minneapolis, and Detroit. His crimes included burglary, shoplifting, pickpocketing, illegal drugs, being a con artist, and even arson. Today's Decoded 8 Book was written by Mary Helm. I'm Merrill Pepcorn.
Dakota Datebook is produced in cooperation with the State Historical Society of North Dakota, with funding from Humanities North Dakota.
September 1st, 1971, seemed like just another night at the ballpark in Pittsburgh.
As Willie Stargell stands in.
But fans were seeing something they had never seen before, a starting lineup of all black and Latino players.
It was like Obama getting elected in our young minds, you know. Back then it was something that you never thought would happen.
The baseball game that broke color barriers on the next morning edition from NPR News.
Starting at 4 a.m. Central, right here on Prairie Public.
That's it for this Tuesday edition of Main Street. Coming up tomorrow on the show, Rabbi Jeff and Mindy Glickman modeled the power of giving when they traveled the United States in Seymour, the RV. 1 month and 12,000 miles later, we hear about the tour to the wonderful. That's coming up tomorrow on Main Street. Until then, enjoy the rest of your day.